Well, good morning to you. Do please be seated. Before we look at those verses of scripture that read to us earlier, let me just pray. In Psalm 119, the psalmist writes, "Lord, may your word be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path." Lord, we do just pray this morning, help that to be so. Help us to understand the passage that we've read and to know we've met with you. We ask it, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen. Now, some years ago, when I was working for the UK government, a member of my team in Washington was returning back to the UK after a 3-year stint. He had the opportunity of either returning on yet another long-haul flight or sailing back on the QE2. So, not surprisingly, being midsummer, he decided that a midsummer cruise was preferable to yet another long-haul flight. Now, you may recall the film Titanic and the scene in it where Jack and Rose, on the prow of the ship, standing together, leaning into the wind, arms outstretched in a romantic pose. Well, a couple of days into the journey, after a sumptuous evening meal, and the sea was calm, the stars were out in the North Atlantic, so my colleague decided to reenact the scene. Unfortunately, what he had forgotten was the QE2 was one of the fastest liners afloat. In fact, it was known by some as the Greyhound of the sea. So as he opened the door to usher his wife towards the prow, they were struck with a gale-force wind of almost 40 miles an hour. So with her hair a mess and her evening gown soaked in salt spray, she was heard to mutter, "Whatever did you do that for?" Well, it's good to see someone's awake this morning. Now likewise, we see the trees moving, but we can't actually see the wind. Or we can feel its effect, but we can't see it. And this is like the work of God's Holy Spirit, who we cannot see, but we can experience and feel the effect of the Lord Jesus in our lives through that Spirit. And as we look at the passages this morning that read to us from Acts and John 7, I want to focus briefly on 4 questions. Who is the Holy Spirit? What does he do? What effect does he have on us? And how should we respond? Well, first, who is the Holy Spirit? In that first reading from Acts, we learn the disciples were together, having seen and experienced the resurrecting Lord after his crucifixion. This had turned them from a bunch of scared individuals whose leader had been executed into a group of people who were about to change history. The day of Pentecost in the Jewish calendar is also known as the Feast of Weeks. It was a holiday to celebrate the wheat harvest, which took place in about May, June, the time of year. And we pick up that story with the disciples are together in one place when suddenly the sound like the blowing of a mighty wind fills the house and what looks like tongues of fire descend on each of them. This isn't a simple breeze. It's a forceful wind from heaven that quickly gets everyone's attention. St. Luke, the writer of Acts, is making it clear that God's life-giving spirit has come to rest on these early Christians. St. Luke, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was predicted by Jesus, as we heard from that gospel reading. And the filling of the Holy Spirit then enables the disciples to speak in languages that can be heard and understood by the many nations present at that festival. The detailed account of Acts over who was there and present to witness the event emphasizes the universal nature of this event that was taking place. It has been said by some as the Tower of Babel being reversed. It also fulfills that prophecy in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 8, where Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So today, on Pentecost Sunday, it's a celebration of the first time when the Holy Spirit was poured out like water on these early disciples. It's the birthday of the Christian church. Now, just a couple of words of explanation first, though. The word Spirit and wind are the same in both the Greek and the Hebrew. Additionally, many of you will be familiar with the prayer book and recall the Holy Spirit is called the Holy Ghost. Now, let me reassure you that the word ghost is an ancient word for spirit. It has nothing to do with things that go bump in the night. The other important symbolism we're seeing here is the Holy Spirit being described as looking like tongues of fire, which appear to settle on those early disciples. Throughout the Old Testament, God, when Moses encountered him in the wilderness, saw a bush that was on fire and God speaking through it. Similarly, when the people of Israel escaped from Egypt and were wandering in the desert, they experienced God leading them with a pillar of fire at night and speaking to them through a living fire on Mount Sinai. Now, the suddenness of the event demonstrates this was no ordinary act. The apostles were completely taken by surprise. The power of the Holy Spirit suddenly rushed in on them with divine power. This was a touch of heaven coming down to earth. What we're also seeing in these verses in Acts is the Holy Spirit enabling that early church and the Christians in it. Now, let me give you an example. This glove here is pretty useless on its own, isn't it? Limp and lifeless. If I put my hand inside it, though, it can pack a punch. It can also, very delicately, pick up an egg. And it's the same with the Holy Spirit, who's the powerhouse of the Christian church, but also that gentle, encouraging, still small verse of calm that's nudging us on. Now, just bear with me a minute while I put this egg away, because I know the church wardens, Andrea, won't like it if there's a spot egg all over the front step here. It's a great relief having got the egg in the right place. So, secondly, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, in a word, the Holy Spirit's the enabler that empowers us as members of the family of God to serve and support those around us as we journey through life. Now, how does he do it, you might ask? Well, the Apostle Paul gives us the answer when he wrote to the church in Corinth. Paul tells us there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but it's the same God working in us. Now, to each of us is given the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. And here's the really good news from those verses. It's for the common good. In other words, the Holy Spirit's here to build us up as the people of God, to help us with the community which we live in and are part of, and also the people we encounter in our daily lives. Paul then goes on to explain how the Holy Spirit does that. And this is by the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous powers, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in foreign languages, as we heard earlier, and the ability to interpret what is said. All of these are the same work through the same Spirit. And many of you may well have experienced some of these gifts already in your Christian lives and responded to that prompting of that Holy Spirit. But just as we have diversity in creation, so we also have diversity in our Christian churches and the way the Spirit works in those churches and us as individuals. However, there is one common factor. It's the same Spirit there to build us up and encourage us as God's representatives here on earth. So I hear you saying, well, how does the Holy Spirit affect me today? It's a fair question. Well, again, we turn to Paul's teaching in his letter to the church in Galatia, where he reminds them and us that in responding to the Holy Spirit, we should resist things like idolatry, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, and envy. All those things fall short of God's standard. Then by contrast, Paul lists what are called the fruits of the Spirit. Things like love, joy, peace, patience, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now that image of fruit is actually quite important because we're all known by the things we say and the things we do. But because we're human, we make mistakes and fall short of God's glory. But it's that Holy Spirit that enables us to overcome our selfish desires and become more like the Lord Jesus. As we bring our daily lives to God in prayer and commit each action to him, we experience God's Holy Spirit at work within us. And this happens to us both as individuals and also as a church, as a community, as we work for that common good here in Ducklington. God longs for peace and justice in our world. Now, I'm aware that I've covered quite a lot of ground this morning in these verses. But do chat to me after the service if anything I've said that you don't understand or you want to come back to me on. But one of the best ways of exploring the work and impact of the Holy Spirit in our lives is through the small groups when we meet together, which I know has been already happening here in Ducklington. But if you're interested in joining one of those small groups, please do talk to Andrea after this service. Finally, I know the Holy Spirit will be working here this morning amongst us. Maybe it's a word or thought that's jumped out of the page through the readings, the liturgy, or maybe the hymns we've sung. Or maybe you've been encouraged by something in a new way this morning. Or perhaps you now have a greater sense of peace when you entered this building earlier. Or perhaps during this service, you've been prompted to talk to somebody or pick up a phone, or even maybe to deal with a tricky situation. Well, these are just some of the ways that the Holy Spirit works in our lives. And they're all God keeping his promise, his Son is with us. Now, I want to finish with a quotation. Basil the Great, who I'm sure many of you won't remember, he lived about 300 AD, but an interesting character. He said, "When a ray of sunlight touches a polished surface, the object becomes even more brilliant. Likewise, the souls are enlightened by the Spirit, become even more spiritual, and reflect the grace to others." I pray that might be true for each of us this morning. Amen.